Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews, your Chico traveling, thanks Obama, Nerdtastic podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian. And together, we are Green Lantern and The Flash.
Zoom in here. I'll tell you, Flash Man, I've seen my share of weirdo crapola in this job. But Atlantis? Come on. But you're good with the intergalactic cops, aliens, and the cybernetic human? Expand that. What can I say? Magic gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Dispatch a team to a lighthouse at Mercy Reef. Coordinates attached. Find Arthur Curry. Fast.
On it. Pete's looking for Fairyland.
No. We're hashtag the Nerdy Boys, your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week in television, movies, comics, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it.
Yeah, so welcome to the show, everybody. We got a very special guest today.
Wait.
Oh, hold up.
But we found Arthur Curry.
We found Arthur Curry.
Yes.
Are you Arthur Curry?
Yes. Didn't the clip say that we were trying to find Arthur Curry?
But Batman was telling us to find him.
But we found him.
We found him. Mission accomplished, Batman.
Mission accomplished, Shane.
So, this is Brady. You can't see him, but we can.
Hello.
Hello. He said it very quietly.
We're going to need you to speak into the mic, friend.
Hello.
Hello. So, welcome to the show, everybody. This week, we're going to talk about some new stuff. D23 was this past weekend. Which is, you know, the Disney event every year since, what?
Oh, tell me more.
2009, you know. You know, when they bought up Marvel from, you know.
Very good.
So we're going to talk about some D23 news, and then we're going to talk about some other news. And
then followed by some more news. It's just a news-packed podcast.
It's news-orama today, guys.
We got this, friends.
But first of all, you know, we have to talk about our Chico travel.
Yes, we did travel to Chico.
We did.
Do we party there? Like some animals?
No. Aww. No. We didn't party there. So we did play musical cars.
We did. That was fun.
We
traveled. I enjoyed that game.
Yeah, we drove to our local comic store, Metropolis Comics, and we met.
Man, that place is so useful.
We met this North Korean there.
Goddamn Kim Jong-un.
Yes, we met awesome Kim Jong-un there. And we hopped in his Nissan, and then we traveled with him to Carmichael. That was a long and arduous journey where we said a lot of racist things, and he ran a red light.
Yes.
Oh, wait. If any cops listen to this, we're not talking about the guy you think we are. We're talking about the North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
So we ran a red light, and then we went to Carmichael.
Yes, and, where we found our... peaceful king of the South Korean people, Jeremiah.
The half-Korean king of the Koreans. And so, you know, Jeremiah was like, hey, my door just got painted. And we're like, interesting. And so then we all hopped in his Nissan.
Interesting.
Asians just drive Nissans.
Yeah.
And then,
I think it's a common trend now.
Yeah. We traveled with him to the yonder reaches of Middle Earth.
Yes, pretty much.
Wound up in Folsom. At the top of a hill.
Yes.
And then we got in our fellow Chinese man, Gary Lee's Toyota.
Goddamn Asians.
Yeah, silly Asians.
Silly Asians.
And then we squished the North Korean between the two of us in the back seat and headed off to Chico. So that was our adventure, and then we got to Chico and we played in a modern PPTQ.
Which stand for Preliminary Pro Tour Qualifier.
Yeah. So we did that. I was on Infect.
Were you infected?
I was not, no.
Okay, that's good.
I didn't play against Infect at all, so.
Okay. I played Grixis Delver.
Yeah, and then Austin Kim Jong-un played...
Abzan
something or other.
Kind of mid-range.
Yeah, and then Jeremiah borrowed our friend Brendan's deck and did not very well.
And Gary Lee played Splinter Tween.
Yeah, just Blue-Red Twin. So Gary went 4-2. You went 3-3, unfortunately. Austin went 0-2 drop. Or no, he went 0-2 drop. And then Jeremiah went like 0-3 drop. And I went 4-0-2. So I was undefeated in Swiss and then drew in the top 8. And then got the worst possible matchup ever and lost. So
super unfortunate, because like how it kind of started off, me and Christian came out the gates red hot, starting off 3-0, and then we got paired up against each other.
Yeah,
so that was paired up, and then, not good, because his deck is better than mine.
Yeah, game one, Scott didn't realize he couldn't block a Blighted Agent, and in game two, he mulled a 5 and kept a no lander.
Because
so,
I'm a rebel.
And then before the match, he's like, I won't get angry. He was so mad.
I just like walked outside and like walked around Safeway for a minute.
Yeah, Safeway had some good air conditioning.
So. Yeah, because it was hot as shit in Chico.
It's hot today.
It gets
dude.
Hot up there.
Yeah, it's like 110 today. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So after my devastating loss to Christian Grummel, I was now 3-1. Where did I go from there? All downhill.
Yeah, after you played me, you got paired up with a twin deck.
Yeah, another Grixis twin, where we went to game 3. It was a very close matchup, but he etched me out. Just nothing I could really do, because I already knew what was in his hand, but I couldn't just sit around and do nothing, so I had to like do something, and then he drew his combo piece, so I was like, whatever.
And he played right. He didn't make a mistake of remanding a Snapcaster. He waited for you to cast the favor snag. So,
And then pretty much I go into the last round having a glimmer of hope that I might be able to make top 8.
You went from 5th place to 12th place or something. Like,
yeah, it was like insane. Because like, I was in... Because somebody was in first place, then you were in second, I was in third before you beat me. Then I moved to 5th, then I went to 12th place, and then I ended up wherever I ended up. And it was, like, pretty scummy, because, like, my opponent, like, straight lied to me, and it was, like, trying to convince me just to give him a free win, that it would guarantee him a top 8, and that his tiebreakers were so bad that even if I won, I wouldn't have made it, because his tiebreakers would make my tiebreakers bad. But good thing my good pal Christian over here was listening. He went and checked it for me and then, like, you know, gave me the silent nod to just play it out. Well, guess what? I was going to play it out anyways because I don't like the kid.
We have a story about that kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you can finish this first.
I don't know. I misplayed a lot and pretty much punted the games to him.
And then he ended up making top 8, which we think he lost the first round in, so...
Thank God.
Yeah.
Little doucher. Goddamn. Kind of name is Golightly, anyways. Yeah, goddamn.
I don't know. We're just, like, blasting people straight on our show. But, yeah.
Peter Golightly. Goddamn asshole.
Yeah, so we were at Adventures one time with this kid, and he's, like, kind of a judge. Like, he's a judge, right? Like, level 1
Yeah,
judge or
he gets a lot of preferential treatment from other judges.
Yeah. And, like, he also knows this other judge, Adam White, who was at this tournament and stuff. And one of our former friends was with us there. And he was playing, and he's just the kind of guy who just says stupid-ass shit. And so he, like, was playing his opponent, and his opponent, like, misplayed or like, he was searching his deck or something. He's like, oh, it's all good, nigga, or something. And, like, so this kid, Peter Golightly, told the shop that he said nigga, and he got DQ'd and from the tournament, and so our former friend was like trying to beat the shit out of this kid outside of Adventure. We had like 3 people holding him back.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. But
it was hilarious. What a good dime.
Yeah,
so, we're a fucking riot.
So we're gonna move into our news now. It's pretty Star Wars centric today. So pretty much the first piece of news is that you know, out of D23, Star Wars is coming to Disney Parks. They're going to get a Star Wars land. It's going to be legit. It's going to take years to build. But before that, they're going to revamp Star Tours. It's going to have a location from Force Awakens in it. It's going to be ready this year, I believe. It's going to be awesome. So we're planning on going to Disneyland later this year, even though it's not official yet. But I'm just saying we're going to plan on it.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm super excited about that.
I'm pretty excited. It's been like... I mean, Disneyland makes additions here and there, but I went, like, I don't know, probably, like, 4 years ago or something like that. So I don't know, like, what new they have to offer as of late. But I know they've had, like, Star Wars pieces, like, there, but nothing, like, this big. Like, they're going to open basically their own section of the park.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, 4 acres or something of land.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun. Super cool. What do you think of that, Brady?
Sounds pretty cool.
You're so excited.
Another
today.
Reason to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
After,
In addition to that, I know they also talked about like a an Avengers Tower kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like a little hub with like they're doing like an Iron Man kind of thing, like a Tony Stark kind of thing, and then like they'll have like Captain America and Iron Man photo ops there or something and
yeah.
stuff like that. But you know, in China, right? China is the one where they're actually getting like an actual like Tony Stark adventure game land or something.
Yeah, some bullshit.
Yeah, that really is straight bullshit.
I'm pretty sure it's because of the explosion that happened. They just felt bad for him.
Yeah, he probably caused the explosion. He just, like, is donating now.
No, I'm just kidding, guys. I mean, I'm kind of happy for him, but, like, I'm very jealous. I wish that they were opening that in the U.S. so I could go.
Yeah, definitely. Some more little Star Wars news. We finally got a Star Wars poster for Force Awakens.
Oh,
very exciting. It features Rey, Kylo Ren, and Han Solo, and also the Stormtrooper. Well, we think he's a Stormtrooper, but maybe he's not. He has a lightsaber in the poster, so maybe he's posing as a Stormtrooper. It wouldn't be the first time we've seen someone pose as a Stormtrooper. So, I mean, I'm pretty excited. Harrison Ford made the cover. He looks like he's about to tell someone to get off his lawn. So I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Pretty sweet.
December 18th, Force Awakens, guys. Biggest movie
I think
of
it's
the year, at least. So.
Yeah. I definitely think it's a cool looking poster. I don't know. Brings up like it's kinda like the first poster that I've seen that like raises questions because like at first you see like the Stormtrooper like you know, like the African American that's like the Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
But now on this poster, he's like kind of posing in the light side, like with the lightsaber. So you assume he's like a Jedi, and then like you have I don't know who that is in the middle.
It's Rey.
Kind of like the bridge between the light and because it's like
yeah, she's in the middle.
Yeah, well, yeah, so I think I said that.
Yeah. So you have like you have the Stormtrooper guy who probably isn't a Stormtrooper on one side with Luke Skywalker's lightsaber.
Yeah,
that's his exact lightsaber. And you have Han Solo on that side as well, and then you have the female in the middle, and you have, like, the contrast of light. You have, like, it looks like Tatooine. There's a moisture evaporator at the bottom of the picture. And then you have the other side where it has, like, TIE Fighters and the bad guy, whatever his name is, Kylo Ren.
And X-Wings over there.
Yeah, and you have X-Wings on the light side. And then, like, the bottom of the dark side picture kind of looks like the stairs from Cloud City. So, it's really cool. Maybe we'll post this on our Twitter or something.
Yeah, we'll definitely post it on our Twitter and Instagram at Nerdy Boys Reviews. So, go check that out.
But, yeah, super cool. Super excited.
Yeah, we usually don't get too excited on posters, but I think because this actually reveals a little bit of information, I think it's relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I mean, I think it's very intentionally done in this way.
And wasn't it like the same artist that did like the old Star Wars posters?
Yeah, it's the same artist who did every poster from the re-release of A New Hope. So
that one
started.
Did he do that?
No, that's a 50th anniversary.
Oh, like I've noticed, like
25th, not 50th.
You could definitely tell, like the same artist, like did that, like compared to the other ones. It's like I don't know, like his same like textures and stuff and like the lightings and stuff like that.
Definitely.
Even like that's why I kind of like questioned that one because it's like that same lighting scheme.
Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, Star Wars. I mean, it's Star Wars. Nothing more to say. It's just exciting. So yeah, like as we mentioned, Star Wars is getting its own Disneyland theme at Disneyland and Disney World, both of them. So that's really cool. And then. I know they talked about, like, an Avatar one, right?
Yeah, the Avatar and...
Like, from James Cameron's Avatar movie, not The Last Airbender. So...
Even though I would not mind The Last Airbender theme park.
Right. So, that's all really exciting stuff. Rogue One, the Star Wars spinoff, coming out in 2016. We have our first cast photo. We have a confirmed cast. So, let me just read you... Let me just read you the confirmed cast real quick. Felicity Jones, she plays Charlie in Supernatural. She's like a known nerd. Everybody knows who she is. She's like a fan favorite. So Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Ben Mendelsohn, Donnie Yen, Zhang Wen, Forrest Whitaker, Mads Mikkelsen, Alan Tudyk, and Riz Ahmed. Alan Tudyk played Wash in Firefly. Serenity is not his best film. Very saddening. But yeah, he's gonna play like a motion capture person. He's gonna be a CGI character, it seems like. But I'm real excited about Rogue One. It takes place between Revenge of the Sith and New Hope, kind of like the start of the Rebels, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm kind of excited.
Yeah.
So
sounds like it's probably gonna be a great movie.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, would love to hear everybody else's thoughts on, especially this movie. Like, what do you guys think it's gonna, like, really kind of be about? Like, what do you guys hope to see? You know, just those kind of things. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Nerdy Boys Reviews. You can always go on our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Go on our forum section. Start a new post. Name it Star Wars, Rogue One, whatever.
Definitely, yeah. We definitely want to... I'm interested to see, are we going to see, like, a young Luke, a young Leia, anything like that? We're going to have dealings with Han Solo and Chewbacca. I mean, dealing with, like, Jabba back then. Like, all this kind of stuff that was happening between there. Are we going to get kind of, like, the stuff that's in the comic books right now? The latest Star Wars number 7 deals with Ben Kenobi's time between the movies. So, like, from his war journal. It's very interesting stuff. So... it's interesting to see. Hopefully, Ewan McGregor will be in it.
Yeah, I'm especially interested to hear what Jeff Long would have to say, so you can always hit us up on Twitter, Jeff. What do you hope to see from that movie? Also, I think we messaged you on Twitter.
Yes.
About trying to get with you next week for that scene from Star Wars that we would love to discuss with you. We'd also love to hear your thoughts on all the new Star Wars news, so, you know, if we can make it happen, prepare for that as well.
Yeah. So, Rogue One will be released December 16th, 2016, so
yep.
Getting ready for that. Jurassic World director Colin Trevorrow is tapped to helm Star Wars Episode 9, so they got their third director coming
Interesting.
On. So... I mean, he had success with Jurassic World. It wasn't a bad movie. It was actually pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Third highest grossing film of all time now. Yeah. Going to soon be surpassed by Civil War and then Star Wars again. So,
yeah,
I mean,
well, at least you lived it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So,
no, I think that was a pretty good call right there. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know who else they would really get or who else people really wanted.
Definitely. So we watched a little video earlier from D23 that was intercut, so you couldn't see anything cool, obviously. But the article kind of talks about the Captain America teaser they showed for Civil War. Sounds really cool. I'm really excited. I wish I could have seen it. Briefly talks about Doctor Strange, and Benedict Cumberbatch talks to us for a little bit. So, and then they go off into a different thing that we don't care about. So other than that, though, like... Super excited for Civil War. I mean,
yeah.
I want to see Daredevil in one of these movies soon, though. You know?
Yeah. It makes sense because Daredevil. I mean, he played a minor part in the storyline, but he did have a part to play.
Punisher played an important part. So, huh? And he's gonna be in Daredevil season 2. So that's real exciting.
But you know, you're not gonna see that because Daredevil season 2 doesn't even have like a confirmed date.
Yeah.
We just know it's next year.
We do know Frank Grillo as Crossbones is going to be in it, and we know he's going to fight Captain America.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a huge badass in this movie. I read something somewhere, not from Comic Book Resources, but earlier this week, something said, like, Captain America has the budget of 4 major films of its own, like, they're, like, a big size.
Yeah.
It's insane. So, do you want me to read this?
But. No, oh, I was going to read it. It's all right.
Oh, okay.
So they're just kind of describing like what the video was kind of the teaser was about because Anthony Mackie and
Mr. Evans,
I forgot his first name. they're going to show a teaser. Well, they did show a teaser. They just didn't show us on the internet.
Yeah,
so, all right. It says this led to an extended. Sizzle reel from the film. The first live-action footage shown Falcon operating a robotic Red Wing, Captain America, and Crossbones in costume fighting. Crossbones telling Cap that Bucky remembers him. Lots of General Ross narrating and stating. Shit's too far. Sorry, guys. Stating that the world isn't sure Captain America is a hero or a vigilante. The Winter Soldier retrieving a severely wounded Cap from a watery fate and walking away. Scarlet Witch. Okay, you can take it from here.
Scarlet Witch employing Lucha Libre-esque fighting moves in a crowded action scene. Winter Soldier talking to Cap and showing signs of regaining his memory. A brief look at the film's previously publicized funeral scene. A quick peek at the Vision, Black Panther in costume. Tony Stark telling Steve Rogers, "Sometimes I want to punch you and your perfect little white teeth." Okay, it doesn't say white. I'm just throwing words in there now. Iron Man and War Machine standing side by side in full armor. And Hawkeye and Black Widow fighting each other. With Black Widow asking, "We're still friends, right?" And Hawkeye saying, "Depends on how hard you hit me." The reel ends with a comedic scene of a starstruck Scott Lang meeting Captain America for the first time. He says, "Thanks for thanking me," tongue-tied. So, I wish we could have seen that.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys.
I apparently need some glasses.
So, we should I don't know, find a way to turn this into a script and just do script reads.
Sure.
Yeah.
Dramatic readings.
Yeah, dramatic readings.
With voices.
Yeah. Oh! Okay, so there is something I want to do, because I don't know if you heard about it. This is a separate piece of news, but I have it on my phone. Earlier this week, because Fantastic Four came out, and spoilers, it was a flop. we talked about it last week, but...
But Denny's has a good burger.
But Denny's has a good burger. The Thing Burger. I knew we brought you on here for a reason.
Has hash browns and egg on it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
With cheese on the bun. It's all good.
Interesting. Let's see.
Also,
Max Landis, does anybody know who Max Landis is? Apparently he's a writer. So on Twitter, he released the first four pages of his Fantastic Four script that he would have written. And I think we should do a dramatic reading of it. It's going to be pretty fun.
All right, guys, let's do this.
I don't know who wants to be the narrator or anything. We have an FBI team leader. I know we have...
Can I do any kind of voice I want to?
Yeah, you can do whatever voice you want. Let's see.
Oh!
I want to be able to bring this up. Well, so. Okay. So, all right. I know we have a Reed. We have a Sue. Who do you want to be? I know there's Ben, too. So, I'll do Reed and Johnny. Or Sue. I'll do Reed and Sue, and you can be Johnny and Ben. And you can be the FBI guy. Do you want to be the FBI guy?
I don't know.
You don't want to be part of this? All right, fine.
I can try.
All right, I'll just read the exposition and be the FBI guy, and then it'll be fun. All right.
All right.
So, black screen. The whine of police sirens. First one, then building into a chorus. Dozens of them screaming together. The sound of a helicopter, and suddenly, we exit Napa Valley, California. It's daytime. A police helicopter blows past. Following it, we realize it's escorting dozens of police vehicles, their lights bright even in the daylight, charging up in winding country roads. That scene is probably better than this full movie.
I can see that.
All right, continuing.
All right.
Squad cars of all shapes and sizes, ambulances, fire trucks, SWAT vans, and the unmistakable black SUVs of the FBI.
FBI.
It looks like they're going to war. Exit. Reed Richards' family farm. Daytime. The farm, composed of a quaint house, a grain silo, and an old rickety barn, sits quiet in the mid-afternoon sun. A single chicken walks along the driveway. He's going to be the star of this film.
Yeah.
The helicopter blows in overhead, the cop, Armada, kicking up tons of dirt as it smashes up the driveway, several cars swerving off the road onto the field. The SWAT teams disembark. That's what it says. Breaching the house. Guns raised. As the rest of the cops and emergency service workers get out. Staying low. Their vehicles totally encircling the barn. Dun, dun, dun. Quick shots of the SWAT team members breaching every room in the house. There's nothing. Perfectly normal. Tasteful country house decor. It's a lovely but empty place. The SWAT leader emerges, giving a head shake no to the jacket-wearing FBI team leader, who turns his face to a mask, his face a mask muted fear to the barn. The FBI team leader says, "Shit, we're too late." INT, I don't know what that means. Richard's family farm, the barn, continuous. The barn appears to be completely normal. Normal and completely empty. The floor is entirely wooden slats, well worn with dust and dirt. There's a rattling hum while light suddenly shines bright up through the floor, filling the entire barn. That's page one. So, I mean, it's pretty exciting stuff so far, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It's pretty good.
Page two.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. So
I'm hoping this page two is going to be better than the first one.
Why won't it let me go to page two, guys? Hold on. Got it. Got it. How's everybody doing?
All right.
Okay, apparently it won't let me go to page two. So, all right, just from that, what do you think? You think it would have been a good movie?
No.
All right, let me explain the rest of the stuff that happens, because I actually read it, but for some reason it won't let me pull up. So pretty much, this is like where they're all the four are in the basement, Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Ben.
That's where they were.
They're all like in the basement of the barn.
Well, my bad. I had to stop you there.
Okay.
I can't even say like it would be a mad movie, because like it's not really much to go off of.
Yeah.
Like, based off of like what I know just from that first page, it's like, well, this is obviously after they got their powers.
No, not yet. They haven't got their powers yet.
They haven't got their powers.
So they're all down there, and they're setting off to like become astronauts out of their basement. And like, so the FBI squad shows up. They're like, "You can't be doing this." And like, so like Reed gets on this microphone and he's like talking to them and trying to be all political, but he doesn't turn it off, and he starts talking to like Johnny and Ben and stuff, and they're all like talking shit to him, like calling him names and stuff. It's hecka funny. And then like they finally like, he's like turns the mic off, and then they just blow up the entire barn, blow the SWAT team away, and just shoot up into space. You look displeased.
Yes.
You don't think that would have been better?
No.
So what you're telling me is that scene would not have been better than this Fantastic Four movie.
Maybe, but I don't know. I like the direction that the movie was going until it turned into a clusterfuck.
All right, fair enough.
I really enjoyed like everything until you pretty much meet Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't enjoy like the childhood thing though, really.
I like that part.
I thought it was fine, but it wasn't like that important.
You know, like, because it's like one of like the only times like you really get the grasp that like he really is like one of like the smartest people on earth.
Yeah, Reed is insanely intelligent. So
he's probably like, I don't know too much about the Marvel universe, but I know he's probably at least top three in the smartest people in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with. So, the other news I had for Fantastic Four was that Fox is still confident in the franchise. What do you think of that, Scott?
Why?
So, I'll tell you what they said. So, all right. So it had one of the lowest global performances for a big-budget superhero film. That 20th Century Fox says it's not giving up on Fantastic Four yet. It only made $60.3 million worldwide in its opening weekend, which isn't even enough to cover the budget for the movie.
yes!
So, the Fox studio said, "While we're disappointed, we remain committed to these characters, and we have a lot to look forward to in our Marvel Universe." He declined to comment specifically on the state of Fantastic Four 2. I'm pretty sure that already got canceled. they don't really go into much about how they're going to use the characters. He says, "We love these characters and we'll find ways to make use of them." So, the best way you can make use of these characters is by selling them to Marvel, Cinematic Universe, Studios, Disney, all that stuff.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so definitely do that.
All right.
On a side note, sorry we went on that long Fantastic Four tangent. It really wasn't worth our time. But Justice Leak has been cast as Hal Grammett in Supergirl. He's an entomologist. It's interesting.
Sweet.
Kind of like a Z-list kind of villain. But we'll see what happens.
Yep.
So I don't know. Are you excited for Supergirl?
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
We saw the pilot. We're going to talk about it, though, when it actually is released. We mentioned that previously when we actually watched it. We watched the leaked version, so...
Yeah, I wonder how much different it will be compared to the actual episode one.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, Arrow Season 4 has some concept art out of the new Arrow Cave. So, what do we think of the look of this? I like the table. I think it gives you... How many chairs are there? Are there seven? If there's seven, I mean Justice League, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 chairs. Random number.
So that means they're probably going to bring new characters in.
It looks like there's a Porsche in the background.
There is definitely a Porsche. It's a little hard to see that picture.
Yeah, there's like a...
Can you enlarge it? Just like right click.
Alright.
Teaching him how to technology right now.
The Quiver? It's a stupid name. Alright.
Arrow Cave.
There's Felicity standing there.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I heard... So Mark Guggenheim said that she's going to be our old Felicity again in this season.
That's fantastic. Okay. This Arrow Cave is bad fucking ass.
Yeah.
You have
the things on the side.
Yep.
Oh, you see the Flash right there?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Alright, so we have basically a camera angle looking... Like, basically, what I'm guessing is, like, the corner of, like, one side of the cave, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Which, like, the front thing is, like, the round table with a shit ton of chairs. Then you have, like, a little couple steps into, like, a technology kind of area where you have Felicity standing in the middle next to her computers. Then you have, like kind of, like, a see-through glass window with, like, it looks like it's a city of the map. I mean, map of the city.
See-through glass.
And then it kind of goes off, which I'm guessing goes upstairs to Verdant.
Maybe.
You see the motorcycle and a Porsche in the background. And then, which my coolest thing was, but very fucking lame of them to do at the same time, was the glass cases of suits.
I think that's cool.
Which is obviously a ripoff from Batman.
Yeah, everything they do is a ripoff from Batman.
Arrow Cave.
But it looks like they have, like, Green Arrow, Red Arrow, and then there's, like, two more. Like, one might be the Flash. One looks like the Atom suit, kind of. You can't really see him that well.
No. I don't see...
I think Ray Palmer probably has a lot to do with this new Arrow Cave.
Yeah, probably. You know who the fourth suit is? Diggle's suit.
Yeah, Diggle needs a
but
suit.
But you can't see it. They purposely, like, blurred it to where you can't tell what suits are what.
Yeah.
But I can obviously tell the second one in is probably Oliver's suit.
Yeah, I know they cast two more people for the show. I didn't catch their names, but both of them, like, one's a love interest for Thea in the absence of Roy, and the other is a love interest for Oliver, like an ex-love interest.
Interesting.
So...
Oh, you know whose suits those are? Okay, got it. Laurel suit.
Yeah.
Oliver suit. Diggle suit.
And Speedy.
Speedy suit.
Yeah.
But the one of the coolest things, though, was that there, like he said, there's three monitors next to those suitcases. You can't really tell what the bottom two screens are, but the top screen is Barry Allen in the Flash suit.
Yeah.
You can't,
the other ones are...
I can't tell what they are.
Like, one kind of looks like a map, and the other kind of looks like Star Labs, maybe, down there.
But now that we've given you an in-detail kind of thing about it, we'll post this on our Twitter and our Instagram, so go check it out. Let us know what you guys think. Message us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or our website on our forum section. Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, definitely. So, NBC is landing the comics, comedy, DC Comics comedy Powerless. I've never read it. Don't know anything about it, but NBC's picking up this show, and I heard another show. What was the other show? Do you remember?
I don't know, but just talking about Arrow and then seeing Constantine on this one reminds me Constantine is coming to Arrow, bro.
Yeah, Constantine's going to be on Arrow. So excited.
Hell yes. Oh, my freaking God.
It's going to be Matt Ryan. Would hope he'd be there all season. Obviously, he's probably going to only be in an episode or two, but oh my God, that's exciting.
And hopefully they bring him in a cool way. Hopefully it's not like a cameo where you just see him walking or something stupid like that.
Yeah, definitely. So, And then we're going to get a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen film reboot from Fox. That's going to be female-centric. It's going to focus on female characters. So League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was kind of... It's an Alan Moore thing. You know, he did Watchmen. He did Killing Joke, things like that. Fabled comic book writer. So what do you guys think of that?
I'm definitely excited about it. I mean...
The first one wasn't bad. Yeah. Sean Connery.
Yeah. I thought it was fine.
The other thing NBC was picking up was Red. The movie Red and Red 2. That was a comic book also. They're picking that up and making a TV show. Had Bruce Willis in it and some other people. I know my mom loved those movies. It's like, whatever. So, that's pretty much all the news we have for you guys this week. We have been in contact with our friend Jeff Long. So, we were supposed to get together this week with him, kind of talk about Star Wars a little bit. We had talked to him maybe about next week, but he got back to us on Twitter. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to do it next week. His daughter's going to college. That's exciting news.
Well, congratulations, my friend.
So, I mean, maybe it's better now. We'll have actually 2 weeks to try to plan a day with him, make sure that we're all prepared, have our talking points down. I know I'm really excited to talk about the Star Wars scene. I mean, it's really exciting stuff.
Yes.
So, I mean, I can't wait. I hope it all works out. You know, we're sorry that we couldn't do it this week. It would have been super appropriate. We were already talking about a bunch of Star Wars stuff. But, I mean, Star Wars is only going to get more popular as we approach Force Awakens. We got a new comic book coming out next month, I believe, Star Wars, that's building up for The Force Awakens through Marvel, which is also exciting. So, I mean, hey. Star Wars, guys.
Hey.
So, I was watching Battlestar Galactica earlier.
Okay.
Alright? And something happened, and I literally never held my mouth open that long in my life.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It was just shocking. I could not believe that happened. And I just bring this up because the only show that really makes me, like, shocked, which doesn't have that effect that much anymore, is Game of Thrones. But, like, that show just has a lot of shocking things in it, you know? Nothing else really comes close, you know, except for, like, some of the DC animated things, like, you just, like, they're not really going to do this right now, are they? And then they do it, and it's like, wow, that was shocking. But I literally couldn't close my mouth. I was just so shocked.
Aww.
So, I guess the sentiment here is watch Battlestar Galactica. Unless you're Scott, because he finds it slow.
Maybe.
But on the DC animated movies note, Jamar had asked us a couple weeks through our group chat, through our text messaging chat, why Scott had said that he wasn't as much of a fan of the Batman vs. Robin as, you know, he was initially after he was reading our current run on Batman. So why don't you tell people about that, Scott?
Okay, so, I mean, okay. Think about, like, how I can, like, kind of say it, because it's a little hard to have, like, a completely formulated opinion on the matter, because I haven't finished, like, that Batman series, but based off, like, what I've already seen, they kind of just took, like, little bits and pieces of, like, the first trade of Batman, and from, like, what Shane was telling me, they took, like, that and Batman vs. Robin from New 52 and just kind of combined them together. And they could have, like, just naming it the, it should have just been Batman Court of Owls. Like, it shouldn't have been Batman vs. Robin. If you're going to do Batman vs. Robin, like, why not just do the actual storyline? Because it was completely different, because, like, Shane was explaining to me, like, what kind of happened in that storyline. And it was pretty much, you know, kind of something similar. But... So, what I'm saying is, like, how the Court of Owls, like, was the underlining thing in Batman vs. Robin was, you know, the Talon trying to basically recruit Damian away from Bruce and all that stuff. It could have been way more epic. Like, so, in the Court of Owls, basically, just, like, some certain things happen. And Batman starts investigating, like a series of things He doesn't even believe in the Court of Owls, kind of like in the movie, how he was like, well, I looked into this as I was, when I was a kid. I know the Court of Owls isn't real. Like, that kind of thing was, like, the same thing. It was, like pretty consistent with that effect. And a lot of, like, the same things were, like, there. Like, how Bruce got trapped in, like, the Court of Owls maze. And how he was, like, fighting all those Talons in the Batcave. But it went down way different in, like, the storyline. Mm-hmm. And basically, it was way more fucking epic because... Bruce and Alfred were both trapped in like a safety room pretty much, and like a whole group of Talons were about to break through the door, and you know, they basically have Bruce get into his like big bat suit, his like machine bat suit, and he starts fighting out there, and he tells Alfred to like freeze the Batcave, which can kill him too. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's, like, sitting there fighting him, and then, like, you know, Bruce always having, like, something up his sleeves. He gets out of the situation, and the Talons are frozen. From there, the whole Bat family goes and tries to track down the rest of the Court of Owls right when they think they have them. They find the Court of Owls in a meeting. They're all dead. All of them. It's super fucking crazy. And all of a sudden, I think, like, Batman was captured, and then there's, like, this character... that you met, that he's, like, a politician, that he's trying to have Bruce, like, back him, kind of. Mm-hmm. And, well, Bruce is, like, well, I don't know, I might run against you. Like, he's, like, thinking about, like, kind of running for, like, mayor. Because he already has all these, like, plans to kind of improve Gotham as it is, which was also consistent with the movie. But that same character that you think dies from the Talon, which was just, like, one big setup, that guy is actually part of the Court of Owls. He's the guy that killed the Court of Owls, and he's, like, claiming to be Batman's brother. He has, like, this, like, crazy-ass backstory where he's like, Bruce, do you remember, like, when you were young, like, there was, like, a bump on your mother's stomach, and Bruce actually remembers, like, but from Bruce's knowledge, like, the baby died, like, after delivery because they were in a car accident while she was pregnant. And, like, that's what kind of, like, happened, like, which sent, like, Martha Wayne, like, spiraling down from there kind of deal. But, you know, he reveals that, like, well, from the hospital, he didn't die, that they actually put him in this, like, kind of, like, special hospital kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And there's even, like, proof and, like, evidence of, like visitor's logs of Martha Wayne, like, visiting him. So it's like there's like this really strong, compelling evidence that like Bruce actually might have a brother.
But then again, it's the Court Owls.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, they address that, and basically they fight. They like fight, and there's like a big ass explosion which Bruce like barely escapes with his life, and they just kind of assume that guy's dead. But like weeks after that, you know, he's out for like a long time with like injuries and stuff. But he's, like, talking to Alfred and Dick's like, you know, he's like, well, do you think it's true? Like, and he's like, well, I'll never know, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, there's, like, a big important scene, like, right after, like, when Bruce was trapped in the Court of Owls maze, mm-hmm. where, like, he kind of goes insane. It's, like, this big fucking epic moment where, like, he's, like, kind of just sitting in, like, the darkness of, like, one of his rooms with, like, the model city of Gotham. And, like, that was, like, one of the questions that they kept asking, like, you don't know Gotham, like, you think that you know Gotham, and, like, if you ask everybody what Gotham is, everybody will give you a different answer, and, like, they addressed it as, like, well, Gotham is Batman City kind of thing, but after, like, what happened, like, Bruce comes to the realization, like, this isn't a city, Gotham isn't what he thought it was, and he's, like, kind of cracking, like, under, like, what happened, like...
Did he pee himself?
No, he was just like, I don't know, dude. He was like going crazy and like...
So in your opinion, the changes they made were just a strict downgrade?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've said it before. To me, Scott Snyder is the only person qualified to write Batman. Yeah. Because he's so magnificent. Like,
I'll tell you guys right now, like, Snyder and Greg Capullo is just, like, they're a legendary combo mm-hmm. that just came together on this Batman storyline that I'm reading.
Yeah.
Like, sorry that, like, you know, as I'm trying to explain, like, what's happening... Like, a lot of it was, like, kind of scattered, and, like, you know, I'm trying to, like, remember what I've, like, read, because it's been, like, a week since I even picked up the book. But I'm just kind of basically, what I'm trying to say is, it could have been a way better storyline, and if they would have stuck with just one thing, it would have been a better movie, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, my opinion is, like, they try to combine two different storylines, and in a lot of cases, that can work, but in this storyline, like, in the Court of Owls storyline, it would have been much better as just the Court of Owls or just the Batman vs. Robin storyline.
Gotcha. So, here's my question.
Yes.
If Bruce Wayne's parents died...
Yes.
How was he born?
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
I was just kidding. I saw that today online. It's funny. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen all Batman vs. Robin. I haven't read Snyder's Batman run. I read his Batman Eternal run. I read the full thing. So, just from that, it's just like a very, very good story.
You should read that story.
I should.
Because there's so much more shit to go down.
To me, it's very engaging because Batman, you know, something that the movies, I feel, have failed to capture is the detective aspect of Batman, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what, like, you know, it should be a detective movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the books are, you know? Like, Batman Eternal is really the mystery of how James Gordon got framed for killing a lot of people. And now he's Batman. So, I don't know. It's just fantastic stuff. And then Snyder just created a new character. So, Batman 43, probably going to be worth some money. Check it out.
Yeah.
Also had... we're moving on? Or...
No, like, I kind of want to address that, like, the detective part two.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's such a big thing in this, is, like, him trying to, you know, find out what the whole mystery between, about, like, the Court of Owls. It's, like, the more he kind of investigates it, it's, like, they're leaving little breadcrumbs for him intentionally, so he'll get more curious, and then eventually he does find, like, the little lair which he gets trapped in. But it's, like... That was, like, some of the most engaging parts is, like, when he's actually doing his detective work. And, like, where I'm at in the storyline now is, like, there's, like, I don't even really want to go into it right now. But, like, there's just more detective stuff.
Yeah.
It's, like, why don't they really ever address that stuff? It's, like, it's such good material to address.
Yeah.
What
do you think, Brady?
I think that is actually a pretty important part of his character because, I mean...
Because
he's really... They always show, like, in the bigger movies that I've seen, they always have the action parts and fighting and all epic stuff like that, but...
But, you know...
His real power is his brain, really.
Go back to the first appearance of Batman. What was the comic book called? Detective Comics. How long was it Detective Comics? A long time. Like, 700 issues long. So, I mean, he's a detective, and that's, like, a huge part of his character. I mean, he might as well be the Crocodile Hunter, you know? That guy was always
Crocodile
detective.
Dundee.
He'd be like, Corky, look at this dog shit.
Yeah, like, especially when you put him around, like, superheroes and people that are more than human. He's just a human. The only reason he's able to stand with any of those people is because he's so smart. He's able to figure everything out. He has a plan for everything. That's his real strength.
Like, yeah.
He's strong and all. He has martial arts background and all. But...
Why do we need Batman? Because he's a good detective. That's pretty much it, you know? That's, like, a huge key aspect of his character that I feel like a lot of
films like, miss. Without Batman, how would we know who Superman really is?
So, if Batman's such a great detective, how come he sent us to go find Arthur Curry?
Maybe it was just his off day.
He needed a nap.
Ain't no time for that.
Yeah. So, do we have anything else to say about that? Just besides detective is important in his character description?
Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, Batman vs. Superman kind of covers that.
Hopefully, Zack Snyder is another qualified Snyder to write Batman.
Are they related at all?
I don't think so.
Because, like, I was super confused. I was super confused about that because, like, I remember a couple podcasts ago, I accidentally said Scott Snyder. Or, no, I said Zack Snyder was, like, you know, writing Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, oh, don't you mean Scott Snyder? And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, there's two different Snyders. Doing Batman?
I think Snyder is a very common last name.
I was like, this is a conundrum. I was like,
Yes.
I was like, I don't appreciate this.
So we did have a question this week. Two questions.
We had two questions.
Do we want to address the more important one first or second?
We'll do that one last.
Okay. So the first question we had came from some folksy person on Twitter named Echo Tragedy, whatever kind of name that is.
What the hell?
And she wanted us to give our opinion on, you know, kind of like cross-gender cosplay. Like, a lot of females are dressing up as male characters, but what do we think about male characters, or males dressing up as female characters, if, you know? I feel like it's a pretty good question. Yeah. So, in general, I just think it's much more difficult to do that. Like, I don't think a male could successfully pull off, like, a Catwoman character.
You'd have to kind of reimagine a little bit, I think. But I think pretty much anything, like, you can gender swap anything and make it look really good. If you put, like, the effort into it and really think about it, you can transform it. You can come up with it pretty good.
Yeah. You just have to have, like the real vision for it, in my opinion. Like, I am fine with, like, whatever anybody wants to cosplay as. Like, definitely. That's, like, their own, like, prerogative. Like, they could do whatever they want. You know, like, cosplaying is just another form of self-expression, and everybody should be able to do whatever they want when it comes to self-expression.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, when it comes to, like, cosplaying, it's like, you know, we always see all, like, the women that dress up as the male characters, you know, just, like, with our own very own Wizard World Sacramento Comic-Con, you know, we ran into, like, what was it,
female,
like,
Doctor Who's.
Yeah.
Female
Captain America's, yeah. Female Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, like, we see all kinds of things. And I really do, in one sense, agree with both of you. It's like, on one hand, yes, it is more difficult to pull it off. But I agree with Brady in the sense is you just really have to have the vision and, like, I don't know.
So here's kind of, like, my issue with it is, like, a lot of the characters I can think of that are female characters already almost have a male version of the character. Like, X-23, why don't you just be Wolverine, you know? Like, Catwoman, why don't you just be Batman? You know, Harley Quinn, why don't you just be the Joker? Like, that's essentially the male version of those characters.
Well, you shouldn't just have to limit yourself just because, right. Like, somebody's, like, just because a character's female doesn't mean a male can't pull it off. Like, just today, I swear to God, this happened today. I seen a picture online where okay. They didn't even come together. That was the weird thing. There's, like, some guy that was playing Ronin as a cosplay, and a guy, I'm 100% sure it was a guy, too, like, 100% sure, that was playing Nebula as a cosplay. So, and Nebula looked really good. Like, it was really well done.
Yeah.
As a cosplay.
So, alright, I think we should distinguish, too, between a male transforming a female character into a male and a male dressing up as a female. Because those are two different things. So, I mean, I don't think it's a problem either way. I mean, I think if you are into whatever you're into, just do it. Like, express your inner nerd. If you're into, you know, I guess it'd be called cross-dressing if you're just straight dressing up as a female character. Which is fine, like, if that's what you're into. I've seen that before, too.
Yeah.
So that's a thing, you know. But, yeah, I mean, if you, like you said, have the vision for it, and you can transform that female into a male character that suits you, that's also very cool. You know, it's very unique.
Yeah, I mean, because I think, because you see that all the time. Like, you see, like, the women that, I mean, obviously, like, they have, like, their female assets and, you know, features and stuff, you know. Ass, boobs, and stuff like that.
Beautiful eyes.
You know, of course, you know. Like, you see, like, they'll just go straight for, like, the masculine original version of that male character.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you also have, like, the adaptations where, like, they'll turn it into, like, a feminine version of the character, you know? Yeah. Which is perfectly fine. I have no problem with either or, but it's, like, I think it's a lot harder to do it as a male. Because you'll be judged a lot more harshly if you do it.
I think the one of the things that maybe makes it easier is that Marvel is doing a lot of stuff right now with alternate universes and alternate versions of characters where you have a female Doctor Strange in one world, you have a female Captain America in one world. You know, like Secret Wars 2099, you have female Captain America, you have female Doctor Strange, you have female... what's her name? I forgot her name. You have a lot of female versions of male characters.
I think it really comes down to whether or not you have, you know, just the guts to even try it.
Yeah.
You know, like, My personal opinion is, like, you know, if you want to do it, go for it. You know, you shouldn't let, like, the thoughts of, like, others hinder what you want to express yourself as.
Yeah, especially in a place like a con or places where you go and cosplay. You know, you do it because you can feel comfortable. You're not, you know, you're not going to be judged there.
Trust me, I'm sure there'll be a lot worse cosplays there.
Yeah, than like you. Like a fat kid wearing a Punisher shirt and a trench coat and a giant green bazooka.
Yeah, yeah.
That was me, by the way. Yeah. So
or a guy that like created like a Batman mask out of like duct tape. Like it didn't look good, but whatever.
Yeah, but
he tried.
He tried.
He did what he wanted to do, and he went.
He did. You know,
he stayed nerdy.
Exactly. He used the resources that were available to him and stuff and did it in a creative way that he was able to express himself. So what does it matter if you're a male going for a female character or a female going for a male character? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Just do you.
Like,
exactly.
Just we can do you. We could go to a con, Brady, myself, Scott, my sister. And my sister does not have to be pigeonholed into being Black Widow. She can be Hawkeye. She can be Captain America. She can be Hulk. She can be, well, probably not Hulk. But, you know, she could be whoever she wants. And if she's the Hulk, it doesn't mean she's She-Hulk. She can just be the Hulk, you know? And I could be Black Widow, you know?
Bet you could
play Black. I could. So, I mean, you don't have to pigeonhole yourself just because, you know, whatever. Just do what you want to do.
You could do it because you got those hips that don't lie.
I have hips that don't lie. My hips don't lie.
Huh. Sorry.
But Gerard Piqué's wife's hips do lie.
I believe it.
So, yeah, I mean, just do what makes you happy, and we hope to see you guys at future cons doing whatever you like.
Yep.
So, the other question we have is kind of a comic book recommendation question for people who are kind of down on their luck or, you know, not in a great place in life, just kind of, you know, dealing with certain things that are, you know, life problems. So... I mean, it's kind of a very serious question, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to defer to you right now, see what you have to say. I mean, I know you have one in mind.
Yeah, I already have one in mind. Because, like, well, okay, we reworded the question, which, like, I would love to, like, just say, like, what the real question was. Is like, what would be a comic book that you would recommend to somebody who feels dead inside?
Right.
So, the first thing I instantly thought of, because based off of who sent it, which, like, I won't say who sent it, that, you know, like, I know this person pretty well, and, like, I know, like, which characters they like, so I was like, oh, well, I instantly know what to already say,
mm-hmm.
because this image is fucking famous as shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of All-Star Superman number 10.
Mm-hmm.
The issue where Superman is on, like, so, like, the panel starts with a girl, like, on a ledge of a building,
mm-hmm.
Crying, like, you know, you assume, like, she's ready to commit suicide. And then you just have the panel where it's, like, Superman standing right behind her. I'm trying to pull up the image now.
Right.
And it says, your doctor did get... Well, shut the fuck. Sorry, guys. your doctor really did get held up, Reagan. It's never as bad as it seems. And then, like, he's, like, turning her around, and he's saying, you're much stronger than you think you are. Trust me. And then just hugs her.
Yeah, I mean, and that's...
Like, the sheer power of that image is
insane to me. That's something that a lot of comic books do, but not many do it as successfully as Superman. So, you know...
I think even more that it came from Superman, it's even more impactful, because he's always been known as, like... the human beacon of, like, hope, one, yeah, you know, like, the like humanity's hope, for, like, a better tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, like, I would kind of turn to comic books more, you know, a little bit when I was, like, upset or something, but now, like, I'm older, kind of, like, I kind of just prefer talking to people through things like that. Like, comic books are great, but I still feel, you know, kind of, like, to myself. And I'd rather feel the company of someone else when I'm down in the dumps or depressed or something, and that's usually what helps me. But as far as comic books, like, I love comic books. One book that it's a big graphic novel that I'm reading. It's called The Sculptor, and it has a lot of, like, very interesting passages, you know, dealing with life and problems like that, and, you know, different kinds of things that may not necessarily apply to the reader specifically, but that they could relate to. I think it's very interesting. You know, like one of the things that I loved about when J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter was that Hagrid, when Hagrid first came, and they were like on that island kind of rock thing. Hagrid picked Harry up. They went to Diagon Alley. He got all his stuff. And then he had to go back and live with the Dursleys for a month before he went to Hogwarts. It's different in the movie, but in the book, he had to go back for a month. And, you know, like, the kind of message that sends to me is, you know, someone's not just going to show up and take away all your problems. They're still going to be there, you know? And to me, that's really powerful, you know? So, you know, it teaches you, like, the life lesson, but it also gives you the understanding that there is hope to escape certain bad situations. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know how that's really relevant, but to me, that's something that, you know, I took a lot from. And that you can always find something in literature. Like, a lot of writers keep things open to the reader for interpretation, and I think comic books, you can find something in any comic book. Just pick something up and start reading, and you'll find something.
There's usually like an underlying like generalized message behind most of the writing that deals with like some sort of current event. I mean, whether or not, like, you know, the event pertains to you, but it could, like, still speak to you and help you in a certain way. But I think, like, this one, like, really is just, like, an important message. Not even, like, people that are maybe contemplating, like, suicide, but anything that's, like, anybody's, like, that going through a hard time, really, is just, like, the fact that is, like, that Superman's, like, you're stronger than you think you are. Like, people can endure much more than they think that they're capable of, and that it would always be okay. Like, tomorrow's always going to happen, kind of thing.
Yeah. And honestly,
life is worth living, pretty much.
The book I would probably most recommend is Saga for people, because it deals with parents with children, it deals with, you know, marriages, it deals with drug use, it deals with career choices, it deals with all these other things, it deals with how you deal with your family in a time of war. It deals with so many things, and I just love the way they depict things and illustrate things, and it's a lot of real life problems that, you know, anybody could relate to.
Yeah. And then I've also was like kind of thinking, the question is like, well, what if this person was really just trying to ask us like, what is a comic book that will just like kind of get me out of like a funk kind of deal, like, you know, just like keep her mind off of it. I thought like a good read like would be a series like Access is really freaking funny with Carnage, like all the Carnage stuff in Access is hilarious.
Access Carnage, the 3-book series, is hilarious. Anything with Deadpool in it, honestly, it's funny.
You know, if you're just looking for a laugh to kind of escape the problems of like reality and stuff, then I'd go for more kind of funny stuff compared to like the heavy-hearted stuff. That is just going to make you think about everything that you're trying to escape anyways.
Right.
But if, like, something to, like, kind of help you through your situation, I definitely would, you know, recommend reading All-Star Superman number 10.
Definitely, yeah. So,
what about you, Brady? Do you have any references? Or?
I don't have time to prepare to this.
Or what about any, like, what about, like,
music?
Yeah, like, what about, like, music or literature that you might have read in the past?
It really depends, because, like, especially with music, for basically anything you could possibly be going through, there's probably at least one song for it that you can find that really speaks to you, and it just seems like it's almost written for you. So, like, there's a lot out there, and it depends, like, what kind of music you like and all that, but there's always something out there. Whether you want to feel better, there's happy music. If you're just looking for something that kind of speaks to you and what you're going through, there's something for that. You just have to kind of search for it sometimes, but there's always somebody out there that's been through something similar or the same thing. So
if I had to recommend a song for someone in a, you know, in a low place, it would be Katy Perry's Firework. I think that's a very uplifting song, honestly. I mean, the music video has a lot of Dove models by the pool, and it's not funny.
I just don't like that song.
You don't like
baby,
that song?
Baby, you're a firework.
I like Katy Perry. I think you just got played on too much and heard it too
Brady,
much.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag floating through the wind?
Maybe sometimes.
Do you ever feel like a firework?
Honestly, you'd be like...
That sounds
You'd be like
dangerous.
That part of the song about the plastic bag floating through the wind, but like if it ended up in a trash can and a bunch of like hobos peed on it.
Pretty bad day.
I'm pretty just kidding. That's fucked up. Honestly, anybody who's in a bad mood, I'd just suggest you listen to Nerdy Boys Reviews. I heard that's a pretty good podcast.
I heard they're a riot.
They're a riot. But, I mean, honestly, we should bring in a comic book analyst to tell you, you know, what you should read in times like this. And I think we have one. His name's Nigel. Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. So, I've been reading comic books for a good long time. Well, you know, I've been here for a while. You know, hello, Randy.
Hello, Nigel.
Hello. So, we got Randy and Nigel here. You know, we've been reading comic books for years. You know, I started reading back when I lived in Wales. I don't have a Welsh accent anymore. But, you know, one of my favorite comic books back then, you know, shit, I didn't read any comic books back then.
I forgot where this is coming from. Is it Australia?
No, this is definitely Scottish now. You know, I've moved into a new country. Alright, so it's like, you know, a comic book expert here. So, if I had to recommend a comic book for anybody... Oh, geez, my accent keeps changing.
Why is that?
I'm not sure. You know, I used to have a good accent, and then it just changes as I speak.
You know what I really think it is?
It's unnatural. That was the best fucking thing I ever heard in my fucking life.
Right, fucking hell!
So,
are you Randy?
You're not.
No, I'm fucking Nigel.
No, I'm Nigel, you're Randy.
Alright, mate.
Righto. So, you know, honestly, you don't have to read any comic books. You just get together with a group of friends.
A nice cup of tea.
You play Game of Thrones Risk, and you podcast.
He goes straight back to Scottish. And then he tried a British accent and went straight back to Scottish. Just take from the top.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
Hello. So I'm Nigel. You know, welcome to Scotland. That's not Scottish at all. See, so I could do the British for a while, and then it goes to Scottish eventually, you know, and then I just talk like this, and everybody's like, that's a rough accent.
That's a good one.
That's good. So, okay, so Christian's going to come back in now, and I'm going to leave, because I can't even get a goddamn accent right.
Bye!
Okay, I'm back now, guys. Thanks, Nigel and Randy. Have a good one. You know,
later.
They're gonna step in from time to time. You know, they're gonna go to all the movie premieres and tell us their expert opinions on those as they move from.
I'm looking forward to
as they move
it.
From one nation to the next. Nice. So
accents changing every time.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the more they speak, the more their accents change. Right.
Right. Right. you know, you gotta. You just. You know, it just shows how cultured we are. They are as people.
We are. I don't even know what's going on
so,
anymore.
Honestly, that's pretty much all we have today. I mean, we brought you guys along for a wild ride here.
Was it a good time?
It was a very good time. Did you have fun, Brady?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So, that's going to wrap us up. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our guest star, Brady, who said about 5 words. What the hell?
Sounds about right.
There are little hands under my door.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll get that checked.
Probably get that checked.
Did someone kill Nigel on his way out?
Rest in peace, Nigel.
Stuck his hands back under the door.
So,
message.
Yeah, like I said, thanks to Brady for saying 10 words today. You know.
Twice as many as usual.
Yeah. That's twice as many as usual.
That's pretty fantastic.
He just
guess what we're going to do right now, guys.
What are we going to do?
We're going to play Game of Thrones Risk.
Game of Thrones Risk with us?
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay!
So, yeah.
Because we're a firework.
Thanks again to Brady. We'll see you guys next week. That is a chicken. Oh, Jesus. Chicken wanted to be famous, so he definitely, you know,
like
got
snuck into our studio.
Yeah.
What a cool chicken.
So, yeah. Thanks again for tuning in, guys. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Nerdy Boys Reviews. Are you going to honk the chicken or not? Make sure you check out our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Our buy lists are up every week. Cool little picture slideshow thing I got on there now. It's fantastic.
God, look at all the hard work he puts into this.
I know, right?
Check out
Scott's stream on Twitch, iBeastMode916.
Yeah, I'll link that on our Twitter and our Instagram.
Yep, definitely follow us on everything, and that's going to wrap us up. So I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
I'm Brady.
That's Brady. And once again, one simple message for you guys every week.
Stay nerdy, boys.